don't want to make no assumptions. I know the praise Lord that he been good to me this week. I mean, that's what he's done lately. He's watched over me from Sunday to Sunday. Kept me from hurt, harm, and danger. And I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
And I worship him for who he is. Who he is. Because without him, and without him setting in motion, I would not be here. I'd still be lost. I'd still be held back. But he thought he was going to demonstrate that he loved me by sending his son to die for my sin. And for that I am grateful. So let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for this morning.
Praise
to you.
Praise
to you.
healing in the valley. Bright as the morning sky, there is a healing in the valley. Bright as the morning sky, there is a healing in the valley.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, oh yeah, hallelujah. on the way.
Thank you.
Lord, I know you've been so good. Could have been dead, sleeping in my bed. so good. You've been better to me than I could be to myself. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. So I pray, Lord, that you would touch my mind and touch my heart. Lord, that you would speak to me and speak through me. That someone would hear what you have to say today. Someone would be encouraged and lifted up. Someone would want to come and give their life to Christ. Someone would want to come and make Antioch their home. But Lord, we leave it in your hands. For you said if we would just plant and water, that you would provide the increase. And Lord, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to the book of St. Luke. You know, I ask that you bring your Bible, bring something to write with, paper, pencil. I know we have the phone, have our Bibles on our phones and everything, but I want us to get used to having your book with you. The phone sometimes can be too convenient, because while you're looking for your scripture, you might also be checking your text. You know, we have a tendency to do that. I don't mean y'all do it now. Don't get me wrong. Want to find out what's going on. Or you want to text somebody to let them know you're in church on Facebook. Luke chapter 19. And we just want to read for your hearing one verse, which is verse number 37. Verse number 37. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 19, verse 37. And I read for the King James Version of the Bible. And it says these words, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Thus ends the reading of God's most holy and precious words. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. On this Good Friday, pardon me, Palm Sunday, I'm preaching on maybe on Good Friday, I'm not sure, I'm a backup. So not that I'm praying that anything should happen, but I'm ready. On this Palm Sunday, we want to, from this 37th verse, talk about faces in the crowd. Faces in the crowd. We always notice when there's something big going on and there's a crowd of folk. There's all kinds of different folk in the crowd. Anytime an important personality comes to town, there's always a variety of folk who want to come out and see him in person. They line the streets just to see who that person is. But not everybody in the crowd is supportive. You see, in this crowd, some are critics, some are skeptics, there are even haters or enemies in the crowd. The rule is true for any crowd. If a popular preacher comes to town, everybody have their favorite. Huh? If a popular preacher comes to town, there are faces in the crowd. If a big music star comes to town, there are faces in the crowd. If an elected official comes to town, the President of the United States, there are faces in the crowd. Some smiling faces, some angry faces, some happy, some sad faces. But only the fool believes that all of the faces of any crowd are what they seem to be. Sounds like I have a witness. You see, the wise are well aware that among the variety of faces in the crowd is a mixture of optimism, pessimism, truth, and deception. You see, they all make up the faces in the crowd. Oftentimes, sporting events are broadcast on television. We've had March Madness going on, and the stands are filled with thousands of people. And generally, the people are faceless until the TV camera zoom in on them. Huh? Get a close-up. And then we see faces in the crowd. Sometimes we see the strangest things when the camera zeroes in on the individual face in the crowd. Sometimes we see folks who are just cheering wildly, just going crazy because their favorite star got the ball and getting ready to score. Huh? Sometimes we see a man sitting alone by himself. Though it's hard for me to imagine that you would spend $100 for a ticket and just sit there by yourself. Huh? Sometimes perhaps we see a father and a son or a group of senior citizens. But each person have their own reason for being present at that event. Each face have its own story. What the world sees on Palm Sunday is a Savior who is uniquely familiar with the faces in the crowd. Huh? You see, he is aware of their struggles. He is aware of their fears and their aspirations. It's not the physical face that he sees, though. Huh? He is not noticing our eyes or looking at our lips and our brows on our forehead. He knows the face of disposition. He looks beyond our game face, if you will, to see our inner face. Yes, yes. He knows whether we are truly saved or not. Yes. Isn't that something? Yes. We might be able to fool each other, but we can't fool Jesus. Huh? But not to be dismayed, he knows whether or not we have the face of a believer, but not the heart. He knows the face of our spirit. He is not adverse to our hopes and dreams. He sees and he knows all about us and feels that we feels what we feel, and he weeps over our failures and he rejoices right along with us when we are successful. Yes. Luke here is the only gospel writer that records what happened after Jesus saw the cheering faces in the crowd that shouted Hosanna so loudly. You see, when you begin to look here at verse 41, Luke records how Jesus paused before entering the city. Huh? And he wept over the thousands of nameless faces reaching out for hope and salvation.
Yes, yes.
But were lost in a maze of trouble. Jesus wept after seeing the faces in the crowd. He was not a happy man. You see, there were too many that smiled before him, but that would instantly be willing to cut him down if given a chance.
All right.
Not everybody like Jesus.
All right.
You see, as Christians, as saved believers in Christ, we know we are not nameless faces to God. God we serve, the God that we serve, knows us and is concerned about us in so many ways. We are more than just names and social security numbers to him. You see, we are children of the King.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, as we look at this text, we discover Jesus on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And as he prepares to enter into the city, Jesus' ministry carried him to many of the towns surrounding Jerusalem. And in each of these instances, Jesus was a humble servant who sidestepped the public acclaim. It reminded me of the Lone Ranger. You watched that on TV when we were younger. Some of you young folks don't have never seen it unless you saw the movie, but the Lone Ranger would hear about a problem, and him and Tonto would ride in the town and find out what the problem was. Then they would concoct a plan to deal with the problem and put the bad guys in jail. And then when it was all over, before the town could get together and pat them on the back and tell them what a great job they had done, they were gone. And all the town people had was a silver bullet and a question. Who was that? Help me, somebody. See, Jesus often told the folk that he healed, don't tell nobody.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. And when the crowd started to swell, started to get bigger, then he would move on.
Yes.
And he was God, but he was man as well.
Yes.
Huh? But now Jesus deliberately came into Jerusalem in a fashion or in a way that would strengthen the people's conclusion that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah.
Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Yeah.
Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. By coming to Jerusalem, Jesus was in effect proclaiming that he was the one that they had been waiting for, even if they didn't believe it. Huh? The one who was righteous and was bringing salvation. The people there, they cheered for Jesus using words from the 118th number of Psalm. And this psalm was commonly used to greet pilgrims coming to Jerusalem for the Passover. But this reading here seemed to be a little different. The people believed that the one that they had looked forward to all of these years was now riding into Jerusalem. You see, and as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover took off their coats and put them on the ground so that the donkey could walk on. You know, and so I thought about the fact that, you know, these wasn't us because we ain't putting our clothes on the ground. But these folk were doing what they did out of tradition and culture. They took palm branches, as I talked to you about before, and they waved them, and they threw them on the ground in front of him, and it was the equivalent of rolling out the red carpet, as Jesus passed through the crowd. There were many faces that flashed by him in a blur. Poor women religious leaders, angry zealots, and children. It was something everybody in the crowd. They all pushed and shoved and shouted out his name, except for the fact that he was the Son of God and knew the concerns of each and every one of them. They would simply all have been faces in the crowd. When Jesus passed through the crowd, there were many who were prepared to crown him king on that day. But before the end of the week, they would change their cries from crown for a crown to shout of crucify him. Huh? So for a second, let's just see who was in the crowd. There were Pharisees in the crowd. Huh? Filtered throughout the crowd were these Pharisees, members of the Sanhedrin Council. And they were not interested in being identified with Christ. Huh? You see, they wanted to watch him. They wanted to monitor his actions. They were taking notes so that when they went to tell on him, they had some documentation. Huh? They weren't shouting like everybody else, and neither were they singing any songs or waving palm branches or laying their coats on the ground. Huh? They decided that Jesus was an imposter, that he was a trickster, that he wasn't who he said he was. And they made a decision not to follow him. You see, they were a stubborn kind. They were in the crowd, but they were not part of the celebration. They were stubborn. They resisted being a part of Jesus' ministry. And if they had a favorite hymn, I would wonder, it probably was, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Huh? You would expect that everybody in the crowd would have a smile on their face and be happy and shouting, and you look out in the crowd, there's somebody that got the look, huh? Like a dog who said, "I'll bite you." Even today, there are Pharisees in the crowd. Those who stubbornly